Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Bishalach. And, of course, we are told that when Moshe took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, so then Moshe took Atzmos Yosef Imo, he took the bones of Yosef with him. And Rashi cites the Medrash that Yosef made the family order their children to swear in each and every generation to take the bones of Yosef out with them. Now, why would the first Shavuah, the first oath, not be binding on the future generations? So Rav Shachter Shlita would answer in the name of the Ragachavar that there's a major difference between a Shavuos Yachid and a Shavuah for the Tzibur. A Shavuos Yachid needs to be constantly renewed. A Shavuos HaTzibur, the Shavuah for the future generations, it's always understood. But before Mamad Har Sinai, there was no concept of Tzibur. And therefore, there was no way to guarantee that future generations would have to follow through. And so therefore, Rav Shachter would tell us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed each generation to go ahead, Yosef HaTzadik needed each and every generation to go ahead and retake the Shua. Then we spend a lot of time watching the great miracle at the shores of Yamsuf. We see it, and then we sing about it, the Yaz Yashir. And so in that concept, we actually see two very important ideas. We see many important ideas, two I'd like to highlight. The first one is, Yardu Bimsolos Kamo Avin, that we read about how the Egyptians fell to the depths like stone. And at certain points, the people are identified as Oferis, at certain times, Yidmu Ka'aven, and sometimes we read Yochlemo Kakash. And why are there so many different descriptions of the way that the Egyptians died? So Rashi explains that the differences reflected the different styles of the way that they experienced punishment. Those who were less evil to the Jews died faster. The worse suffered more. And Rav Shteinman Zatzal explains that this is why in the Shira at times the Egyptians are thought of in the single, and at other times they're identified with a plural language. When they were united as a nation and acted at nationally, the single form of pronoun is used. But when the people were segmented and their response diverse, they are identified in the plural. Not all the Egyptians treated the Jews the same, and so therefore each one was given a different response. Then we're told, Shamu Amim Yergazun, that the nations heard and they trembled. And why is it so important for us to know how the nations reacted to the news of Kriyas Yamsuf? It seems to get a disproportionate amount of focus in the Shira, and why? So Rebelski Zatzal explains that the word Uz appears twice in the Shira. Uz Yashir Moshe, and Uz Nifalu Alafei Adom. It highlights the two ways that one can handle moments that we're not prepared for in life. In the first way, Uz is harnessed by Bnei Yisrael to see the glory of Hashem and to appreciate it. In the other way, the way of the other nations, it's a means of becoming overwhelmed and not rising to the occasion, choosing to be overtaken and immobilized by our fear. So the method we use depends on how we can handle the world with a higher power running it. Either we run and join in, Uz Yashir Moshe, and be thankful that there is a Ribon Shalom, or we get scared and we run away from it, as the nations did as well. We also read at the end of the Shira, Vatikach Miriam HaNeviah, that Miriam took the Tof. And after all of the joint singing, why do we single out Miriam's contribution? So Rav Volch Shalita explains that the significance is not the song. Singing in a moment is a natural response to a miracle. But the trick is to remember the event afterwards. Miriam's continuation of the song is the guarantee that even in the future, the song and its impact will not be lost to the people. Whenever a chance to thank Hashem will come, songs will be sung to recognize the greatness due to Hashem. And this is the contribution of Miriam. Then, after the Bnei Yisrael went to the shores of Yamsuf, they left from there and wound up in Mara, and they couldn't drink, and then they had a miracle. And then we're told, Sham Sam Lo Choku Mishpat, there he gave them law and statute. And Rashi explains, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that this means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded the Jews to observe three mitzvos even before receiving the rest of the Torah at Sinai. And the three mitzvos were Shabbos, Parah Aduma, and Dinim, which Rashi later explains refers to Kibud Av V'Em. So Rabbi Yehuda Amital Zatzal, the founder of Har Etzion, would use this Rashi to help Chozer B'Tshuva learn a place to begin their Chazara, their return. And he advised a three-part approach. First, he told the people, try by observing Shabbos. Because, as Rav Amital would explain, if it's too hard to be a Jew 7 days a week, try being a Jew at least one day a week. And then he would tell them, pick any mitzvah bein adam lechaver, like Kibud Av V'Em, and observe it scrupulously. It's important to stress that halacha doesn't only relate to matters between man and God, but it also legislates interpersonal ethics, and sometimes those things are godly, ayin kibud av va'im. And finally, we tell people, think like Parah Adumah. You have to choose a mitzvah which you don't understand, and you have to observe it well. One must realize that despite all the rationale behind the mitzvahs, ultimately we can't understand everything, and we don't base our observance only on our rational appreciation of mitzvahs. This was, says Rav Amital, one of the major lessons of Mara that still continue at Ayom. Then we're told that they came by Avo Elima, they came to Elim, Visham Shemes Reinos Mayim Vishivim Tamarim, that there were 12 wells there and there were 70 date palms. And why was this so significant? Why do the Torah need us to understand this? Whenever we discuss Elim, we read about this. And moreover, 70 palm trees is really not such a large number, so why is it so important? So Simcha Zissel Brody Zatzal, the famous Rosh Yeshiva of Hebron, explains that there's a strong connection between 12 and 70 here and 12 Shvatim and the 70s of Canaan. And the significance is crucial. The dependence we have as a nation on the preservation of the ideals of the Shvatim and the Kavod Dutas Canaan is what keeps us strong. Already as the fledgling nation was growing, we were reminded to remain strong contributors and to accept our contributors from each of our positions of strength as Shvatim, but also to be rooted in a Torah life that's led by the fruit of the labors of the Zakenim. We need to have both, and we need to get the appreciation of the past as we stand with the strength of the present to create a strong and valuable future. Towards the end of the parasha, we read in the last 9 psukim about the battle with Amalek. Vayavo Amalek, we're told, Vayilachem Yisrael Berefidim. Now, how could the nation about whom it's written that they saw Vayar Yisrael Sayad Agdola become the nation that gets attacked by Amalek? So the Chaim HaKadosh explains that they were lazy in their study of Torah, that they didn't remain trained for the battles that Torah study requires, and so they were stuck with fighting a different type of battle, that of Amalek. And this is similar to what the Kli Yakar adds, that the power of Amalek is like the power of the fly. It's a weak creation until it's placed on an open wound. But once that happens, it can place a deadly infection that can bring a whole body down. Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel Zatzal adds that this is exactly what happened with Amalek. And that's why we deal with them so harshly, because left to their own devices, they're going to insert an infection into our existence, and we can't allow that to happen. Finally, in the Haftorah, we read the famous story of Devorah HaNeviah. And Barak ben Avinoam tells Devorah, if you will go with me, then I'll go, but if you don't, I won't go. To which Devorah says, I'll go with you, but Ephes lo yetzifartecha, the glory is not going to be yours, ki biyad aisha, because in the hand of a woman, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is imacher Sisra, that it's going to be into the hands of a woman that Sisra will be delivered. And of course the question is to be asked, and the Mefarshim do, who is the woman that Devorah is referring to? So Radak assumes simply that the reference is to Yael, but he's troubled with that explanation, choosing instead to reference the fact that if she were to go, Devorah were to go, it would be assumed that the victory was hers and not Barak's, and that's really the Biyad HaYisha. What Devorah means to point out, says Radak, is that I'm going to get the credit. People are going to say that he fell into my hands. And Ralbag assumes also that the reference is to Devorah. Rameir Simcha of Divinsk, the famous Meshech Chachmas, points out that there's a different question to be raised here that sheds light on the question at hand. When we say Yimacher Sisra, that Sisra was going to be sold, what type of sale are we talking about? And so Rameir Simcha explains that it was Yael who had to give up her marriage to Chever Akeni as a result of the Sisra episode. Before, had Sisra gone to Yael, it would be considered rape. But at this point in time, she's going willingly. She's going beratzon. But this was the cost of defending the Jewish nation. And it was to her that the Pasuk was referred according to the position of the Meshech Chachma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu celebrates, and we get the opportunity to sing Shira in Parshas B'Shalach. But we look for the Moadim Acherim, for the opportunity to achieve. And Nomar Lefanav Shira Chadasha, Visham Nashir Shir Chadash. And may HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant us that opportunity as we all get to the opportunity to the Yom Shekulo Shabbos, as we wish everyone a Shabbat Shalom to all.